first of all, to turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. The Lamentations of Jeremiah. And I'm looking just at an expression in the first chapter, verse 12. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Now we know that these are the lamentations of Jeremiah over the destruction of Jerusalem. But I think in this verse, there is that which is conveyed which may well go beyond that and might even take us to the sufferings of the Lord and perhaps even his atoning sufferings. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? See if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. And you know, we read it today, or at least it was referred to in the reading, that the Lord Jesus in Isaiah 53 was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And Simon has been bringing before us some of those deep exercises, some of the feelings, the emotional life of the Lord Jesus. And in Isaiah 53, it says, verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And you know, just look for a moment at the fulfillment of that in Matthew 8, verse 16. Because this verse that he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows is not here referring to his work on the cross, but rather its application. We're given the divinely inspired application, the description of what these words refer to in Matthew chapter 8. And this was what characterized his pathway and his earthly ministry. Read Matthew 8, verse 16. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He removed by his power what he felt in his spirit. And he felt the wreck and ruin of sin, the effects of the fall as he saw it all around them, the consequence in Satan's power. And the dread reality of sin as of death as the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. So I want you to see, beloved, that when we think of Isaiah 53, verse 4, he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. What a burden that was on that holy man as he sought to fulfill God's will, as he entered into those circumstances of daily life and those that crossed his pathway. Many, all, many, he entered into the pressure. He entered into the pain. He entered into the spirit of these things. And you know, I want to look at two verses in Mark's gospel. The first is in Mark 7. And verse 33. This is someone who was deaf. And as a consequence had an impediment in his speech. We have sympathy for such and for human frailty and weakness. But think of the Lord Jesus confronted with this man who was deaf. Think of his tender interest in him. He took him aside from the multitude, put his fingers in his ear, spit, touched his tongue, looking up to heaven, he sighed. He sighed. He knew the sorrow of that situation. He knew the difficulties that it had brought. And he entered sympathetically into it and he sighed. And he brought the solution. He said, "Epaphra, be opened." And our brother Simon has been telling us of how he will bring the solution in that scene where all tears shall be dried up. When sorrow shall be done away, and when we shall all join in the praise and worship of the Lamb. But here it says, he sighed. And then in the following chapter, in verse 14, where the disciples when the Pharisees, in verse 11, the Pharisees came to him in their unbelief, seeking a sign from heaven, testing him. Look at verse 12. He sighed deeply in his spirit, and saith, why does this generation seek after a sign? And said, there'll be no sign given unto this generation. There, the unbelief, the rejection, the hardness of the human heart, the opposition and unbelief of the leaders who were looking for a sign, caused him to sigh deeply. See, this was the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And you know, there's one other very touching incident in the Gospel of Luke, if I may just find it. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. And verse 11. We're concentrating here on a city called Nain. And you know, there are two processions that day. There's the Lord Jesus is approaching Nain. And his disciples were following. They went with him. And you can just visualize it as they climbed somewhat rocky place, about to enter the gates of the city. And there was another procession met them, another cortege. It's enough to break your heart. A widow, already a widow. Well, behold, there was a dead man carried out. Some of us have experienced that this very week. Others have known it. We've all known it in some. The Lord, in his love and in his compassion and in his grace, he came into close quarters with death. A dead man carried out. There was he with his disciples. They were going in one direction. Here was this solitary woman, a widow. She was following the coffin, following the hearse. A group of people going in an opposite direction. Says he was the only son of his mother. He was the only begotten son. Makes it even more pathetic. Husband gone. Now her son's gone. What a picture of sadness and sorrow. Much people of the city with her. The Lord with his disciples following. What does he do? says in verse 13, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. That scripture there is in the Word of God for you and me, for the individual. We don't need to think of anyone else. When he saw her, he had compassion. He had compassion on her. Those kind words, those considerate words. Weep not. A sorrowful mother weeping. And the Lord Jesus says, weep not. And then it says, he came, touched the bier, touched the burial receptacle. He touched it. They stood still. The funeral procession stopped. Stopped by the compassion of Jesus, the Son of God. Weep not. He had compassion. Young man, I say unto thee, arise. He that was dead sat up and began to speak. You know, one of the most precious touches of it all, he delivered him to his mother. And so after that, there was only one procession, as those mourners with the widow's risen son and the Lord Jesus with his disciples, they made their way back into that city together. He had compassion on her. What a glorious Savior. What a gracious Savior we have. And, you know, I'll just read. He groaned in spirit, and we're all familiar with John 11. A certain man was sick, Lazarus, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. Verse 5 is a wonderful verse that we can take home to all our hearts. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You see, he loved each and he loved all. Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And you know, that love that was towards them is something that we can lay hold of and grasp for ourselves. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them through everything. And here again, in verse 32, when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her. He groaned in the spirit, almost a snort. The depth of the feeling, and here it's his spirit. And was troubled. They had walked together to the burial place. What a blessed thing it is in such circumstances that the Lord Jesus walks with us. Where have you laid him? Come and see. Shortest verse in the Bible. John 11:35. We learned it in the Sunday school. The shortest verse. We didn't appreciate the significance of it then. But in the experience of life, come to see. These were not tears of sorrow, because he was the Prince of Life. He had authority over death. But they were tears of sympathy. Darby has a note here to the translation, here as within, in spirit. It was the feeling produced by the deep pain caused by seeing the power of death over the human spirit. The power of death. The power of sickness, the power of Satan, the hardness of unbelief through sin's power. Look and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. He felt in his spirit that which he removed with his power. And you know, we were singing about it in Mrs. Bevan's hymn, I think. We thank thee for that rest in thee, the weary only know, the perfect, wondrous sympathy we only learn below. We know thee as we could not know through heaven's golden year. We there shall see thy glorious face, here understand thy tears, the sympathy of Christ, the reality of his manhood, touched with the feeling of our infirmities and everything that we see of this Savior and Lord in the gospel page. Is ours to enjoy because he's a great high priest and he sympathizes with us and he succors and he saves. And may we learn to go more to that throne of grace to receive that mercy and grace and learn to lean on such love and such compassion as we see brought out in these scriptures.